Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American James Artison is a singer, songwriter, record producer, and audio engineer. James began pursuing music at the age of 16. His initial foray into music consisted of learning the art of songwriting, which later turned into music production. In 2017, James transitioned from music production to artistry and began recording himself. He joined a duo group named Kings Times 2 and released their debut single, Wine for Me, in September of 2017. The single peaked at number 10 on the US Billboard Hot Single Sales chart for 5 weeks. In 2018, the group disbanded, and James released his debut solo single, Move, which features the rap group Houdini. Following up in 2019, James released his anticipated EP, Blue Leisure, which became critically acclaimed upon its release. After its great success, he released his sophomore EP, Kaleidoscopes, and in 2023, he joined forces with rapper Big Gip to release their collaborative EP, Gippin' Worthy. In 2024, James launched his own imprint, Humble Sound Record, in conjunction with Sony Orchid. The label houses artists such as BNGB, Robin S, Tanisha Kelly, Sophia Habib, Shanae, and Truth Hurts. Some of the artists that James has collaborated with include Meek Mill, Drag On, Justin Bieber, Joe Little, Rough Ends, Robin S, PM Dawn, Bobby Brown, CeeLo Green, Robin Thicke, Bone Crusher, DJ Luke Nasty, and many more. James is a Grammy Award nominated artist. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got James Artison.
Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great. Can't complain. Right now, I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia.
How, where, and what was the choice of you choosing James Artison as your stage name?
Well, first off, Artison pretty much embodies that you are the best at what you do. You know, you're great at what you do. And, you know, that has always been the mindset of how I've projected myself in my art and how I've always seen myself. So it just kind of felt a name that embodied me not only as an entity, but just as a person in general. You know, it just kind of stuck with me.
At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative world, creating music in this space? And how did that journey progress?
Oh, wow. So in the beginning, I'm from Queens, New York, and I've always been around the arts. I've always been around music, you know, cultural things. So it was kind of like always the inevitable for me wanting to get into the music industry and music business because I've been around it for so long and it kind of felt, you know, natural to me, especially being around different genres of music. So, you know, not just hip hop and R&B, but house music, pop music, electronic, you know, jazz, what have you. So that was the first thing, is just me being a fan of it. And once I decided to actually pursue it, I became a sponge. So I, you know, found myself going to record stores every weekend and buying albums and vinyls to read credits and, you know, see who did what and see who had the best album covers and the inserts and all that. And, you know, just became inspired by the process of creating music.
So how did that inspiration then allow for the next steps to actually be professional in the industry?
At a young age, I found myself always meeting and being around other well-known acts in the process. So, you know, I always tell the story when I was a young kid, I had a chance to meet Michael Jackson, which, you know, was my idol. I've had a chance to, you know, be mentored by groups like Houdini and DJ Jazzy Jeff, and just a lot of people throughout the journey. And my professional career didn't start until probably age 17 to 18, to where at the time social media was just kind of finding its way. So, you know, MySpace was a thing, Twitter was a thing, Facebook had just started. And it was me finding a way to kind of connect with not only other artists and other musicians, but people in the space, just to figure out, okay, where do I fit in this? Where's my niche? What is my lane? Who do I really want to work with? And, you know, once I kind of got a grasp of that, that's when things just kind of kept going and going from there. So I started working with, you know, artists like Wiz Khalifa and Young Berg. And then, you know, eventually we got to the Justin Biebers and the Katy Perrys and, you know, the Robinesses and all that. And, you know, we go from there.
You were collaborating with all these artists more in the writing and production space, correct?
Yes, yes.
It's a wide range of different genres and different sort of personalities. When you're getting into a room with an artist for the first time that you have as yet to collaborate with, is it a situation of you sort of hanging out, getting to know each other, feeling each other's energies, talking, or do you just get into the rhythm and say, okay, let's just get cracking and let's just do this?
I think it's a mixture sometimes. Like, you know, everybody has their own ways of working, you know, different personalities, et cetera. So me specifically, especially in the early stages, in the beginning, I was always a stickler of making the relationship with the artist, not necessarily, you know, going through the middleman and going to this person, that person to get to the artist. I always wanted to go to the source. And not to say that it always has been that case, but most of the time it was, only for the simple fact of I like to make sure that we both have similar interests. We both are on the same page. And at the end of the day, it's just really about creating. It's not really about manufacturing something that, okay, hey, we need this for the radio. We need this for this, for that. Like, you know, we're just creating art at the end of the day. Even to this day, that's where my mindset always is, because we never really know what something is going to do. You know, we don't know what's going to be a hit song. We don't know where it's going to land. We don't know who's going to like what. So I'm always going in it in the sense of what my mind is telling me and what my heart is telling me. And if whoever I'm working with aligns with that, then I think that's where the masterpieces come in.
You referenced earlier about collaborating in different genres, different house, dance, jazz. Are there any genres that come easier to you, that you find easier to like dive into, and others that are more challenging, or are you comfortable with all?
At this point, I'm comfortable with all of them, because not only have I had experience with all of them, but again, it's just creativity. It's just, you know, whatever comes out creatively in my mind, that's just what it is. So, you know, one day I might be in a house dance mood, then I might be in an R&B soul mood the next time, and then I might be in a hip-hop trap mood, and then I might be in a jazz mood, a country mood. So, you know, it's just wherever my mind takes me and, you know, whatever I feel just needs to be expressed.
For the listener who is not sure, what does it mean to produce another artist?
You know, that's a great question. A lot of times people kind of get the titles of a producer misconstrued sometimes, because, you know, a producer to someone's definition could be they're just making the beats or they're just making the music. And producing someone, it is a much more complex job in the sense of, yeah, you are making the music, but you're also a part of the entire process of the finished product, meaning that you're making the music, you're making sure that the concept of the song is at its highest level. You're making sure that the mix, whether it's the music part and the vocal performance, is properly, making sure that master, you know, so meaning that master recording is the final version that the public is going to hear. For me personally, being a producer, I take high responsibility on that, because my name is attached to it as well as, or as much as the artist is. So, you know, with that in your mind and having that mindset, it's a more so a partnership than anything. You know, we're all in it together. So I think when you're producing an artist, you're going into their world. you know, and they're going into your world. So it's just about working together.
What does it mean from your perspective and experience between producing an artist as in just one single compared to producing an artist with the whole body of work as an album? Do you do both or do you mainly focus on singles?
At certain points, I have done both, but, you know, it takes a lot of time to really craft a entire body of work for one artist because, you know, there's things that could be scrapped and, you know, redone, or we have to remake things. And depending on where whether the producer or the artist is in the world, you know, there's a lot of files being transferred and something may have to be re-recorded. And, you know, it's an entire process that goes into it. And, you know, you also have to take into account that you have to figure out where the artist is in their life as well. So what is the direction of the project? Is it something that is tailored towards where the artist is currently in their life? Or is it, you know, something that we're just kind of speaking in general terms lyrically? All those things are very, very important when you're crafting the art. But also, too, we are in a time where singles are more so the driving point, more so than full projects these days as well. So it's almost like finding a balance of how to cater to every audience out there as much as you can.
Is my understanding correct that if you're doing just a single, it's like a short story, but if you're doing an album, it's like a novel?
I agree with that.
Later into your career, you started releasing and writing and creating music for yourself as your own artist releasing music. Why did it take you that period of time before you decided to say, okay, I'm now going to be in front of the mic. I'm going to now be releasing as myself?
I think the specific for me personally, I've just always been a person of just going through the steps and learning yourself and learning what actually goes into being an artist and being a musician and being in the front versus the back, so to speak. And those are the lessons and the experiences that I've kind of went through before I decided to actually be a solo act. But even before being a solo act, I was actually part of a group before then. And that was kind of the inkling to me becoming an artist, period, or even for someone to hear me publicly on a song as an artist, period. You know, that was a great experience. Even being in that situation, it was kind of an eye opener for not only myself, but for the industry as well, because me being in that group and we put out one single, but that single debuted on the Billboard charts at number 10, which is not an easy task to do.
Oh, yes.
So I think that was kind of the thing that opened a lot of people's eyes and kind of gave me a bit of leg up more than others, so to speak. So it definitely gave me that boost to become that solo act.
Without projecting this onto you, was there any fear related to being seen and in front that was causing a little bit of resistance for you to stepping into that space?
I don't think it was resistance. I think it was just timing. I've always been a stickler of, you know, things happen in timing and it has to be the right time. And, you know, you never really want to step into something that you're not 100% sure of. Or you just have to have that really that confidence and that belief that, okay, I'm ready to do this, you know, no matter what it takes. And also at the time when I decided to do it, I was in a kind of a transitional phase of, okay, where is the industry going? Where is the business model of things going? You know, how is the structure of music consumption going at this time? And, you know, and it's always been still a trial and error base. And that's really with any artist. But I think for me personally, it was just all timing.
Now, do you still produce and create for others and for yourself, or are you focusing on your own projects at the moment?
Yes, I still write and produce for other artists. I actually have my own record label as well, which is called Humble Sound Records. And I have artists under that roster that I work with. But as of probably right now, the main focus has been my own catalog, but I do sprinkle other projects in here and there.
When you're creating for yourself compared to for another artist, do you approach it with the same sort of steps or the same sort of framework? I know music is energy and it's free flowing and things will happen when they're meant to, but the way you tackle or approach it, is it the same or is it different compared to doing your own compared to when you approaching working for or with another artist?
I think sometimes it can change because my technique of creating for myself may be a little bit different when I'm working with other artists because their ways of working may be different than mine. And, you know, sometimes there is a compromise or there is just a, you know, another way of creating, especially when you're working with other creatives that have used to how they work. So, you know, it can always be subject to change. But for me personally, when I'm working on my own stuff solely, I just may have a different technique and a different way of working, which sometimes, you know, other people do admire that and they want that, you know, so it's pretty cool.
I know it's all very secretive in your guys' world. What can you tell us is coming up over the next period of time?
Oh, wow. So much going on. But in a nutshell, I'm actually in the process of creating my debut album, which will be coming out 2026. Super excited about that. I just signed a new deal with a entity called Third Eye Recordings in conjunction with Universal Music Group. Shout out to them. The album will be going through there. So super excited about that. Of course, new releases coming under my label, Humble Sound Records. You know, shout out to my whole team over there. In the process of that, I have a joint EP releasing pretty soon with another artist by the name of Big Bags. He's out of North Carolina. Shout out to him. And of course, in the midst of that, you know, we have current singles that are out right now. Myself and Robin S, we have a single out called One More Thing. And I have another single out called City Love, which features Brian McKnight Jr. So we're just working on so many things.
I would love your observation of this next discussion, having been in the industry for a period of time and in various iterations and having your own label. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work in your creative process. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, listening to song from whatever number to whatever number. I'm not sure if you may or may not be aware, massive uptick of physical around the world, especially America, Europe, UK. A couple of years ago in the UK, there were 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also, last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge daily for exchanges. There need to be a high number of exchanges every day in order for it to be in the basket, and they monitor it for some other tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now again back in the basket. And all the data and research is showing is it's the younger kids, the teenagers diving into this world, not necessarily the older, in inverted commas, nostalgic people. Then we have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
I think it's beautiful. I think people are just longing for that nostalgia of, you know, what they may have grew up with or what they just like, you know, specifically of their music taste and choice. But also people just love something in their hand. They love something that they can take home. They love something that they can put on their wall or put in their office, their studio, whatever. And just something that they can just have throughout the duration of their life. And a lot of times people, you know, whether they realize it or not, music changes people. And it can hit them at certain points of their life that is super important. And that song or that album or whatever it is may have change something in our life. So that's why I think the comeback or the resurgence of vinyl and CD has been so strong because of that purpose. You know, that nostalgia is super important. I mean, I myself have recently became a purist. And because I just love the sound of vinyl, and I just love, you know, seeing the art in my hand. You know, it's nothing better than that, in my opinion.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh, man, I enjoy just the energy from what you get from the crowd, and, you know, seeing people not only enjoy themselves, but they enjoy the music and they enjoy the experience. And, you know, it's nothing like performing live, not only in front of that crowd, but even if you have a live band with you, it's just a different feel and a different energy. You know, more so probably a newfound appreciation for those who have been a fan of yours or been rocking with you for so long. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And, you know, I love meeting new fans and new supporters and just seeing people being touched by, you know, what I've created. It's just a beautiful feeling.
I'm that guy that's right up in front. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two videos or photos. Then I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing and posting and tweeting and very much engaged with their phone for a lot of periods of time during the show. You referenced that energy exchange in that process of your performing and the audience being there. Do you find potentially that the cell phone takes away from that and the audience being in the moment, or it's just where society is at this time?
Yeah, I think that's just how things are now. You know, everything is technology driven these days. And yes, sometimes, you know, having your phone out, you know, probably almost to the whole duration of a show could diminish the experience that you would have while watching the show. But on the flip side, I think people do it because they want memories. They want those memories to be in their phones, and they want to watch it back and hear it back and all that. So I understand that. You also have to be in the moment, like you said, and you have to kind of digest that feeling that you get when you're just hearing and watching and, you know, and all of that. So it's to each his own. But I do think sometimes that, you know, having that phone constantly, you know, in the air trying to get it, you know, it does diminish the experience.
I love this next game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 20 minutes and 25 minutes later, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. Again, I'm not saying favorites, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
Off the top, I would probably say Michael Jackson, Liberian Girl. I would say Frank Ocean, Swim Good. I would say A Tribe Called Quest, Once Again. I would say The Weeknd, Die With You, or Without You, I think it's called. And I would say Houdini, One Love.
So James, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
You know what? I would say that you're someone that is interested in, you know, getting into the music business, the music industry, or entertainment. You have to figure out why you're doing it and why this is something that you want to get into. Because, you know, of course, everybody has their own reasons why they do something, but in the entertainment business, it's not something that's overnight. It's not something that is easy. It's just not a field that is for the weak, I would say. You have to have a lot of thick skin. You have to understand that there will be a lot of no's before many yeses. You have to have self-belief and self-confidence within yourself that you're as great as anyone else is, if not better. And the last piece would be, you have to learn from people that are better than you, who are greater than you, who have done things better than you. Because if you're not, what are you learning? Right? You have to take away lessons, and you have to take away gems that will help you down the road. And, you know, once you kind of implement those things, you'll be unstoppable.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.